I'm auctioneer Justin Holmberg, and you're listening to the Quarter Horse Racing Podcast with Greg and Freddie on stallionesearch.com.
And hello again, everyone. I'm Greg Thompson of stallionesearch.com. This is our first ever podcast debut of the Quarter Horse Racing Talk Show with Greg and Freddie and Quarter Horse jockey Ricky Ramirez here on stallionesearch.com. And on this opening show, we have several items to get to, including a look at our signature race in the Quarter Horse Racing calendar every year, the All-American Futurity, as well as a talk about the All-American Futurity Trials. And we'll hear from some of the top jockeys in the All-American Futurity, as well as a discussion with Ricky Ramirez here on Quarter Horse Racing Talk program about the All-American Futurity. Freddie, talk to me about your very first experience there at Rio Doso for the All-American Futurity as a reporter this time around and not just as a fan.
Cinco Manol, Greg. First of all, the drive, oh my God, having to go there, it was a trip, you know. You and I love to eat. Yes. We stop and eat everywhere. That's the drive, it's awesome because we eat everywhere. But going back to the trials was very exciting. I fell in love with the trials before I'd been to the trials, before I was there as a spectator or a fan and just drinking beer and just really enjoying the moment but not enjoying the races as I did this last time. So emphasize enough how much I enjoy the trials.
Ricky, I would tell you without a doubt, this is probably, you said this is your 10th All-American to actually participate in, or actually the 9th one participate in. You started in 2009. That was just about the same time I actually started as a reporter in Stallion eSearch, and for years, the All-American Futurity Trials was a brutal day for me. You know, remember when probably your first All-American or first couple that they actually put everything on the same day. So all the trials were all on the same day. Those were brutal days. And I grew to not like the trials. But now I guess working smarter as I've gotten some age on me here, I've actually started really liking the All-American Trials.
You know, Greg, it's the trials are awesome, but I'm just happy, you know, with us three living here in the DFW area, I'm just happy you guys don't invite me on your road trips because I wouldn't be able to make weight on race day. So, you know, that's just...
For sure.
Thank you for that. Thank you for not inviting me on your road trips.
You would basically become a thoroughbred jockey on the way there. I'd have to be teaching you how to flip at a high level, so...
Yeah, I mean, the highlights of this gig, this job, is the traveling, the eating. It's I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know, even though I've gained like 8 to 10 pounds, but,
yes,
you know.
And it's all my fault.
And it's all your fault, Thompson.
All right, stick around, guys. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsor. Hey, Stallion eSearch Nation, let me tell you about Stallion Roofing and Construction. They provide high-quality and reliable contracting services and peace of mind with your roofing and construction needs by exceeding the standards by using a superior team of contractors. Got a project on your house? Give Stallion Roofing and Construction a call at 214-687-2528. That's 214-687-2528. Remember, they provide a service, not just the labor. All right, we're back here on Quarter Horse Racing Talk Show with Greg and Freddie. Got Ricky Ramirez, jockey of the fastest qualifier going into the All-American Futurity and the second-place finisher this year, Mr. Riptide. Ricky, talk to me about that week leading into the All-American Futurity.
It was just a fun week. Very, very fun week. You know, being on the favorite to win the All-American, it's just a good experience, Greg. It's just something I can't explain.
What's so fun about it?
You got high expectations that you can win the All-American this year, and I just can't describe it. It's just something very, very fun. It's kind of nerve-wracking. It's can't wait for race day. You got family coming in. You got just big weekend, big crowd, and man, it's just unexplainable how fun it is.
Right. Talk to me about the, you've been wanting to be a jockey your entire life, all the way back to when you knew what a jockey was. Give me that defining moment of the All-American experience of when it hits you that you're in this, the pinnacle of our race.
Do you feel a special feeling every All-American?
Oh yeah, every All-American. It's a thrill, man. It's a good experience. You're living your dream. You know, everybody wants to. Every quarter horse jockey wants to ride the All-American. Of course, win the All-American. But just being in it, year after year, it's just, man, it's unbelievable.
Ricky, do you get as excited as you did the very first time this last time?
I think I enjoy it even better now, Freddie, because, of course, your first All-American, you're very, very nervous. You'd never done it. You know, it's your first show. But after you've ridden the All-American a couple of times, you get to enjoy the moment more. You get to enjoy the whole weekend of what it's really all about.
Before y'all come out of the jocks room, is there pressure between y'all there, not as an enemy, as a competitor? Is there any kind of, do guys in there make any kind of intimidations towards each other to try to win the race? I mean, because you are trying to win the race.
Well, not really, Greg. We all, Freddie, we all, you know, we wish each other luck and stuff, but we all pretty much are focused on what our game plan is, you know. Everybody wants to win the All-American. That's their goal. Everybody has that mentality that you're going to win the All-American. So we really don't discuss it. You know, we have conversations, you know, about other things, but we don't really talk about the actual race itself.
You know, I've had the opportunity of being in the jocks room when the jocks left to go out to the All-American Futurity, and I was filming at the time. And without a doubt, there is a different vibe in the jocks room of those guys that are going out there. Those 10 that are headed out there, the focus on them, yes. You don't see that on the other races out there. I had veterans in the corner just kind of like in a trance, I would call it, that were just so focused on what they were doing and thinking and maybe playing the race in their head. Is that something that you find yourself doing? I mean, before you want to keep playing what you're wanting to do out there, or you just kind of let it unfold?
Yeah, you're just so focused on what your plan is. You know, of course, our number one plan is try not to do any mistakes, and hopefully your horse gets a good break and have a perfect trip.
You know, like all of us, when we watch the Kentucky Derby on television, we see the jockeys very concentrated, very stuff like right. that. Us being able to be part of that is very exciting. At the same time, we would consider the All-American as our Kentucky Derby.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. It's the pinnacle of our sport.
I even wore a sports coat this year.
Yes, you did wear a sports coat.
Hey, Greg, I got a good idea.
All right.
Let's call James Flores, see what he has to say about the All-American.
That's a great idea. Let's get on the phone and call James Flores to talk to about the fastest, or actually the winner of the All-American Futurity going down the racetrack.
On the phone with All-American Futurity winning jockey James Flores. James, thanks for joining the podcast here.
No problem.
James, kind of recount the All-American Futurity from gate to wire for me, if you would.
Man, it was just a good start. The horse, he left perfect. It was like the trip was just, it was like it was almost meant to be. The horses on both the inside and outside just kind of opened up, left the horse a clear path, and it was like the horse just run great, you know. So
you really closed on the outside there. Were you eyeballing the horses on the inside, the one that Jensen as well as Ricky Ramirez were on?
No, I actually like kind of spoke to Ricky about it a little bit after the race, and he was like, hey, were you out in front or was I out in front? You know, because he was so far on the inside, I couldn't see him. I honestly never saw anybody on the inside rail or inside of me. I thought I was clear the whole way, and I thought the horse was out in front of, you know, from the gate to the wire, you know. So it was a good trip. You know, the horse just run perfect. And, you know, hats off to the horse. I mean, I got to give all credit to him. You know, I just was thankful to be on him and happy to get the first All-American win for all the connections, you know, myself, the owner, and the trainer. It was a good feeling.
Well, you heard him say it, Rick. He was throughout the race, he was ahead. I see it on the replay as differently. And, you know, of course, us filming it, Freddie will vouch for me as well. The way we saw it, our vantage point, looked like you were definitely ahead for most of the race, for sure.
I was at the Jockey Club in the finish line, and from my point of view, I clearly saw Mr. Ripside ahead. And I mean, having a match race with a determined one.
Yeah, I don't disagree with James about not seeing you.
And of course, he won the race, but I saw him just coming close really, really strong at the end. That right. mean, you can't deny that.
You know, Freddie, it was such a good horse race that I think James was just so focused on riding his horse and you know, putting a good ride, which we did. And I was, same thing with my horse. I was full focused on mine. It's almost like we were both in tunnel vision. You know, all we had was the finish line in our mind, and we weren't looking to our size to see who was in front of who. You know, we were so just so focused on our horses. And I think Cody Jensen, too. Cody Jensen was, you know, I talked to him after the race. We were so focused on putting a good mount on our horses that we didn't even know who ran first, second, or third. That's just how focused we were on the race.
Ricky, talking about tunnel vision, give us a little bit of the perspective of tunnel vision when you're riding that caliber of a horse and that caliber of a race.
You know, it's just hard to explain. I guess it comes with the experience of not worried about your surroundings. You're just worried about you and your horse being one, you know, staying in rhythm with your horse, you know, keeping his head picked up, because you're going 440 yards. So you want to help your horse get there to the finish line without him getting too tired. And also, you don't want to override the horse. You know, you guys have heard a lot about overriding when mm-hmm. a jockey kind of panics and goes to trying too hard, and it backfires sometimes.
Right. Well, like you said, it was your second time to cross the wire in second place in the All-American Futurity. I mean, give us that feeling of a near miss. I mean, as you mentioned, the closest that you'd ever come before that, it was you know, you got beaten pretty handily by Ochoa when you finished second there. But you know, you were as close as you possibly have been to the All-American Futurity. And I know this is a race that's you've been, it's eluded you for quite some time now, but now you were very close. Potentially even thought in your mind at one point in time in the race that you actually had it. So
I really did, Greg. I thought I had, you know, I thought I was going to win it this year when we left the gate, and I left that good. But like you say, the second time I ran second to Ochoa back in 2011, but he was by far the best horse in the race. He beat us by 2 lengths. I mean, just beat the field, crushed us. But man, this was just a good experience. You know, I would really like to talk to Cody Jensen and see what he has to say about his experience in the race.
Ironically, we also have Cody Jensen call in to the show and give us his outlook of the third place finisher determined one.
All right, got Cody Jensen on the phone. Cody, of course, ran third in the All-American Futurity. Cody, thanks for joining us here on the podcast.
Great to be here. Appreciate it.
Talk to me about the All-American. Take me from the gate to the wire as it was through the goggles of Cody Jensen.
Oh, it was great. You know, unfortunately, we had a little bit of delay on the start and had to unload everybody, but it actually worked a little bit in my favor. My colt stood up and looked down the track a lot better once we reloaded. I got away good. Me and the one horse, Mr. Riptide, had a quite the little match race from the first jump to the last jump. We were hooked up pretty tight, no more than a neck apart from the first jump to the last jump. Right away from there, and we was having this like the battle, and with 40 yards to go, it's kind of anybody's ball game right there. And the seven horse just kind of slipped on up the outside, just kind of eased on by us that last 40 yards, and unfortunately there was nothing we could do about it.
Did you spot him? Did you see him coming from the outside, or were you focused on trying to beat the ball?
No, he was always there. He was always in my peripheral vision. But I was so concentrated. Me and Ricky were both so concentrated on each other because we had that horse beat a little bit that we weren't, you know, too concerned about him. But not that you could do anything about it anyways. We were all just riding hard to the finish line. But we thought we could hold him off, or at least I did. I'm not sure if Ricky ever seen him over the top of me, but he just kind of was a little stronger on the end of it than we were.
Paving the way to becoming the newest, hottest thing in quarter horse racing, Sovereign Racing Partners, a quarter horse racing partnership optimizing the way the game is played by giving you, the potential owner, an opportunity of owning several potential Futurity winners with a wide, diverse portfolio of horses. It's simple. Quarter horse racing ownership is more fun when you are sharing the cost and not shouldering the cost all alone. Imagine experiencing the thrills of quarter horse racing ownership for a fraction of the cost and playing the game of quarter horse racing at the highest level. You can. by becoming a shareholder at Sovereign Racing Partners. Contact me by email, greg@stallionesearch.com, for more information. Sovereign Racing, a coming-of-age quarter horse racing partnership destined to lead the pack.
All right, we're back with jockey Ricky Ramirez. Talked with Cody Jensen there. You heard him talk about the mishap in the starting gate with the 8-horse DF Mischievous Chess in the All-American Futurity, which caused the horses to be backed out. He had to be resaddled, and all you horses went behind the starting gate and before they had to be put back in there for a restart.
Did that reload benefit your horse any, or how does that affect your ride?
You know, it wasn't a hindrance to my horse. He handled it just fine. Both times that he loaded in the gate, he was perfect. So it could have gone either way. My horse didn't faze him one bit. But he still got a good start, so it all worked out.
He did have a good start.
Right. Well, Ricky, of course, you've come out of the All-American Futurity weekend with a win in the Ritos Futurity and the Zia Futurity. What does the fall look like for you here in the DFW area?
Well, guys, I'm here in the DFW area. I live right outside of Weatherford, Texas. So Lone Star's home. I'll be going to Lone Star quite a bit, and also be driving back and forth to Zia Park. There's a few of my horses that are gonna run down there that I get to ride. So I'll be doing a lot of traveling this fall, and then come winter time, I'll be going to Lubbock and get on some babies that are our next crop for 2020.
Well, let's talk about Lone Star. You got a lot of success there at Lone Star, without a doubt. You've won 5 Texas Classic Futurities. You won a Texas Classic Derby. You've won 2 Dasher Cash Futurities, as well as another Dasher Cash Derby. Talk to me about the love that you must have for Lone Star. With the amount of success, there's no other way to say it. He has to love it here, Freddie.
Do you feel good when you go to Lone Star?
I do. You know, Lone Star, it's treated me good. Us, you know, as a family, it's been a very good race meet, very good facility. I mean, it's one of the nicest racetracks in Texas, if not the nicest racetrack here that we have in Texas.
I think it's the nicest in Texas.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful facility. I don't know what I have done right, but it's worked out. It's you know, like you say, 5 Texas Classic. Wow, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's a big achievement that we have done, and hopefully we could pull off a 6th.
Yeah, it would be something.
How long have you been going to Lone Star?
I got here, the very first year was in 2008. So when I first came to Lone Star for the first time, I came here riding for Trey Wood and been coming there ever since.
Well, that does it here for the first episode of the Quarter Horse Racing Talk Show with Greg, Freddie, and jockey Ricky Ramirez. The upcoming events to cover here on the Quarter Horse Racing Talk Show will be the upcoming Heritage Place sale in Oklahoma City, and we look forward to bringing you a show from Oklahoma City. Maybe we can grab us a special guest there as well, Fred.
Yes, good idea.
But signing off here on the very first Quarter Horse Racing podcast, I'm Greg Thompson.
Freddie Carmona, 6-0.
And we'll see you next time here on StallionEsearch.com.